Hadi bakalım.
Well, I've been thinking about it. Are we entering pedo Epstein exhaustion phase? Like, it's been two solid weeks of Epstein, wall-to-wall Epstein coverage. Are we getting tired of it? Is the American people kind of just short attention span, and now we kind of want to move on just because it's been that amount of time, or is just nothing, there's no there?
Well,
like, which is it?
That's a really good question. I mean, I think there certainly is a little bit of that tendency amongst people right now, anytime in the digital age, to want to, you know, move quickly from thing to thing. We have a short attention span generally. But when it comes to this topic, I think personally, because it's so dark and it just, it speaks to the absolute worst tendencies of humans or reptilians, depending on how you're viewing these things, you know, it does just get a little tiresome. Like, I found myself sitting on the couch, you know, chatting with my fiance, saying like, I don't want to hear about this anymore. It's gross. It's consuming my whole feed, and I want to move on to something else. That said, I think you're exactly right that it is a really important thing that the American people care about. And there's a reason it keeps coming back, is because it's this lingering, unresolved bruise on the psyche of America that this is being allowed to go on. And and I don't think it doesn't comport with us morally. So we're like, we have to figure this out. People have to be held accountable if there's a there. And I don't think we've been given the evidence that we need to know definitively there isn't. In fact, it's going the other direction. I would say it's getting more and more real. So that's kind of my take on
Mike Benz was on a podcast, and he said, you know, I can smell there's dirty underwear in the room, and I think you're wearing it. And I'm not going to believe you when you tell me you're not until you show me your underwear. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Like, well,
it's
said.
That bad and that lingering.
Yeah.
And I think that's right. And ultimately, and what I did in the solo podcast earlier this week, it's actually should release when we're talking here as recording, is I said, like, ultimately the Epstein Files is like, it's a test of, can we regain trust in our government? Right.
Yeah.
And in order to regain that trust, part of it is we need to start understanding the actual status of how power works in our government at the highest levels, at the most international levels, at the levels of spy and espionage and, you know, private equity finance and all these other things.
Yeah.
So that's where I don't want to give it up quite yet. Even though there are other interesting things happening, I want to do a podcast on AI and stuff like that. But
oh, yeah.
We got this, and like, there's new stories coming out, so we got
to
hit it.
There are, and I think to your point about regaining trust in our government, that is a very long uphill road. It feels a little bit like Sisyphus and the boulder at this point, that it just may never happen, and maybe that's just me being cynical, and I am well aware that I am a little bit cynical. Jaded libertarian over here, absolutely going to own that, but how do you guys feel about it at home? And I realize we've done kind of a long preamble here, but welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. How do you feel about the Epstein Files? Are you guys as tired of it as we are? Are you just hungry for more? Let us know in the comments, and you know, leave us a thumbs up, like, subscribe, all those fun things while we're at it. So,
and if you are tired of it, doesn't matter. You're going to watch the whole episode anyways, because that's what we're talking about. No.
If you are tired of it, then just put this episode on mute, walk away, and just let it play. All right. Just let it play, because we really appreciate those, that watch time.
Need those views. All right.
In fact, give it a thumbs up too before you walk away.
That's right. Thumbs up first, mute, walk away. Okay. For everybody else, here we go.
Let's go. Okay. So the first one, and this just dropped, really interesting new story. The coverage is from an outlet called ITVX, ITV News.
Seems very reputable.
Well, I mean, I have my gripes. Like, immediately I found it on Al Jazeera. I was like, that's interesting. And they mentioned ITV was the first one to break it. So I went to them, and neither of these articles had any links. And I'm like, what is this? It's 2026. These are public documents. How do you not have the EFTA 00698, whatever? How do you not have that in? It's the worst impulse of modern journalism,
it
just
is.
To like, trust me, bro, it through this in this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I went back and I found the links. So I confirmed it.
Boy, David.
Yeah.
Attaboy.
Yeah. It didn't take me that long, but it was frustrating. It wasn't
true journalist articles. Over here.
Not a journalist. Not even the closest.
Big J journalist.
Basically, what's in it is a real estate owner went to a guy named Stern, who then went to Jeffrey Epstein and said, hey, do you want to buy some property? And the property is the Pentagon Center.
Seems important.
Well,
where is the Pentagon Center?
It is 1 mile away from the Pentagon.
Okay.
And the DOD.
All right.
So it is ideally placed as a secure facility for the Department of Defense and like basically your extra people, like not the people who work in the Pentagon, but still work for the Pentagon.
Right.
Would be in this building. This is your supplementary building.
It's like an annex.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so Jeffrey Epstein was offered to purchase this building.
Yeah. Yeah. And what we have in it is like this file, which is kind of like your sales pitch, kind of listing it, kind of shows it. Pentagon Center, located in Arlington, Virginia. Pentagon Center has been solely Department of Defense since 1993.
Damn, look at that cash on cash return there, guys. We should get in on this.
Well, I mean, imagine being the governor's landlord or the government's landlord. That's got to be a pretty sweet deal.
Well, it is a sweet deal. A lot of Congress members actually own buildings that they then lease back to the government.
I've heard this.
Yeah,
I've heard this. So Jeffrey Epstein got offered one of those deals.
As if he's a member of Congress.
and so we also have is this, and it went further than this. I mean, we don't really have a lot of the exchange. We have this pitch. And then at some point they gave him the actual, like the investment term of deal. Like this is what it would look like. And this is in April 2016. And it lists out, sorry, my Adobe is being very slow. But it lists out a term for $120 million. And yeah, and it's just basically how to split up the acquisition of it for the two buildings, leasing it to the Department of Defense, and it's this mission critical asset with the GSA.
Okay, so this deal was going to happen. Like this is sort of a boilerplate contract. Like here's what a deal would look like. They were getting into that negotiation phase.
Well, I mean, it shows some progress towards it. We don't actually have a signed deal. We don't have anything else that lists this as an asset of Jeffrey Epstein. So maybe it got here and then he was like, I'm not liquid enough right now or something like that. Didn't happen.
So what do you see as the significance of this potential deal?
Well, at least it's interesting to me to kind of look at the kind of access to opportunity that he got. He got this email out of nowhere. He's a guy with money, and this guy connected to one guy. And this guy, Stearns, is actually Jeffrey Epstein's soldier, was how he's described in the files.
Oh.
In some other places. And he was very close to former Prince Andrew.
Former prince.
No longer. Gotta keep that in mind. I just want to say, yeah, I don't know.
We'll be getting more into the former prince just a little bit
later. I refuse to use the other titles just because I don't know what they mean. And I just feel like an asshole trying to say, like, something of Windsor.
Duke of York, I think.
Duke of York.
But he still has titles now. Right? Something of Windsor, right?
No. He was stripped of all of his titles.
Oh, got it. All right. Well, never mind.
Yeah.
Anyways, that guy, he was close with that. So what it means is, at least what it means is it's an interesting insight into where he was making money, partly in and potentially in real estate. We don't know what other deals he was offered by this whole thing. You know, the original article makes it interesting because they attach it to him being a known sex offender. But, you know, being a known sex offender, it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, we know now that he was this big deal. But in 2016, did Stearns know this? Did the real estate agent know this? No. Would the U.S. government even know that the real estate agent offered this to him? No. But imagine for a moment, if you will, if he had gone through with this. And imagine if it wasn't just that he was a known sex offender, but he was a Mossad asset or an MI6 asset or a French intelligence or a Russian asset if you're with PBS or whatever. I don't care what country it is. But in his role as what I really like, John Kiriakou states as information broker, that as like a general asset for for problem solving internationally with big money deals. If he's that role and he owns the building that the DOD is renting, that's pretty crazy, right? That would be an insane arrangement.
Yes.
And if you were the government and you let this happen, would you put those in the files? If he did sign the deal and we just don't have that file?
Yeah, I don't know. Actually, that's a really good point. That would be something you might want to conceal along with everything else that they want to conceal. Right.
One of the things they failed to be able to conceal that we found out this week as well, and this adds an actual texture to the whole him being close to Assad. Ehud, we discovered this week, and this was broken by Dropsite News. Really great written article. Ryan Grimm, I believe, was... Epstein was spending so much time, or Ehud Barak, the former defense minister and former like lead muckety muck in Israel, when he left government.
Prime minister.
Yep.
I like lead muckety muck better.
This is it's very rural. It's just Flyover America podcast. Okay.
I just want to make sure that the people who are listening actually know that he was the top of Israel.
Could be worse. I could have said chief, you know, something like that. Anyways,
how?
So anyways, this guy, he was spending so much time with Epstein and spent so much time specifically at the New York mansion that Israel, the Israel government, was at some point put in charge of the security system at that mansion.
Huh.
So we have this interesting moment where you have these figures, Coleman Hughes, Tracy, I can forget his last name, reporter, Substack writer.
Muckety Muck.
Yeah. He has been kind of making this case that, like, this is a satanic panic moment and that there really isn't any evidence of any of the release files or anything like that of actual blackmail. And therefore, there's no there. But imagine for a moment if you're having crazy wild sex parties that you're inviting Elon Musk to, and all your security systems are actually installed and run by a foreign state. What might be happening there? Like, we have the email that says, hey, Elon, would you like to go meet all these diplomats? And he says, no, thanks. I'm running all these large companies. And he's just like, do you think I'm retarded? They're all five girls under 25 and they're all beautiful or something like that, right? Why would that email exist? And we know that email exists. And we know that Israel was running their running their security systems in that building.
That's kind of a big deal.
It could be compromise.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like, that seems so reasonable to get to. But for some reason, people just won't go there because they don't have an email that says,
I am recording.
I am so happy that I am getting compromised on all these rich and wealthy people. Send to self. You know, you know, like, what do they expect? Anyway.
And pizza means children.
And I'm not even saying I know this. I'm just saying it's really, it's understandable that people are getting to that suspicion.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it would be grounds for, I don't know, an investigation, if true, but we don't really do that around here. Apparently.
We don't. Well, it doesn't go anywhere.
The best we can hope for is to depose Leslie Wexner. Who's deposing Leslie? Is it the FBI? No, it's Congress. Sorry, that we got excited there. I didn't mean to yell. I kind of scared Joe, everybody. My apologies.
It was mostly scared for your ears at home.
Oh, but, yeah. Sorry. Making it hard for Venom. My bad.
I was gonna say it didn't get any louder in my ears, but I knew
because I have an extreme limiter on his voice, so that never ever happens.
No. So Les Wexner. I always want to say Lex. It's Leslie Wexner. He's this really rich guy. He's worth $9 to $11 billion. His brands that he started or launched by him, or as concepts under his original company. His original company is called The Limited, and then he came out with Express, and then he Bath and Body Works Limited 2, which is his girls tweens version. Structure, which is his menswear, and then later merges to Express Pink, which was launched off Victoria's Secret brand, which he acquired. So he bought Victoria's Secret. That's where he got into like the whole modeling thing, and that's where Epstein kind of comes in as a Victoria's Secret angle. Is what we suspect.
Yeah.
Lane Bryant. I don't know what that is. Henry Brendel. These are all brands that he acquired.
Yeah.
Companies.
Think about like the mall brands that you would see.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Learner New York. Abercrombie & Fitch. Everyone knows that one. And La Senza. Yeah. That was in 2006.
So are you wearing La Senza right now, actually?
I don't know.
Looks like it.
What is this? I bought this from a fly shop.
This is Montana Angler. It's a good fly shop.
Oh, okay.
I'm just joking.
Oh, okay.
Because you're such a high fashion kind of guy.
Yeah, that's me, right?
I don't actually know if La Senza is high fashion, but it sounds like it should be.
I buy t-shirts, and that's about it.
Yeah.
I decide.
Hey, well, there's high fashion t-shirts, too. Yeah, you can spend a couple $100 on a t-shirt.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Okay, back to the topic.
All right, so the other thing that Leslie Wexner is known for is that he sold his New York home to Epstein. That's kind of weird because Epstein was originally like living there almost full time. And then at one point late in the 90s, he sells it to Epstein for 20 millis. But it included like a down payment and like a payment plan, which is interesting because from what we'll find out, later on, given this interview, that he was already working with the Rothschilds before he met Leslie Wexner, which realigns a lot of interesting things in our timeline of how we understand. And the core question is constantly this: where did this guy who dropped out of, you know, never didn't graduate college, went to was a failed math teacher at a private school, and then winds up at Bear Stearns, leaves Bear Stearns under the cloud of an FCC violation, and then becomes a wealthy millionaire playboy, right? How did that happen? We just don't understand that. And the piercing into that is what the real juice is for this whole thing.
It's just an all-American rags-to-riches story, I think. There's nothing suspicious about it.
I have a quick question that I just want to clarify.
Yeah.
When he sold the mansion, wasn't it because he gave Epstein power of attorney?
Yeah, that's related. And keep in mind, too, this whole thing, there's the original suspicions of what we understood at the moment with, like, Whitney Webb's book and things like that, which are a lot of, like, connecting dots, but these dots aren't fully connected or always confirmed completely. It has a range of certainty in different things. And then there's what we know. And then there's, like, the memification of it being repeated 1,000 times. So, like, for in my brain, I had Fritter thought, didn't he give him the mansion? But then that's I go thought. Look
that's
it
why
up.
When you said it sold, that's why I was like, wait, I thought he kind of just, like, gave it to him.
Yeah.
So, I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that, like, I'm... You know, it can get lost in the memification to, like, the new information we have to, like, what we originally knew. And then it's also weird because it is a weird thing, because if a guy's living in your house and you're not living there for quite a while, for like a couple years, and then you sell it to him, you know, can that kind of turn into he gave it to him, you know, and retelling a few times.
Yeah.
But anyways, this is confirmed information that, you know, and this is done by reporting of people looking through financial documentation that suggests that it was sold for that amount of money. So, yeah.
Got it.
All right. And okay. So now what we know now. So Les Wexner has long been in the files for lots of reasons, like the things that we talked about, the mansion and, like, power of attorney. That's also a weird one. We don't really understand that well. There's some interesting stuff with the FBI interrogation of Epstein, where they talk about Leslie Wexner. It gets really weird. But then, you know, the new tranche comes out of 3 million files, and Leslie Wexner is not in this strange document. There's this document, and I talked about it in the last podcast that just came out, so I'll just do it real quickly. And this is an interesting one. This is an FBI internal document, where from the Criminal Investigative Division in August of 2019. So this is when they are prosecuting their case against Epstein. And this is all the people that he was supposedly co-conspirators with. And there's these people who are blanked out. It is weird that they include her picture, but did. Oh, no. Here we go. Right there. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder what is blocked out, because that one says Ghislaine Maxwell at the top of it. Yeah. So that's odd.
And once again, a lot of these things would make more sense if they just, when they blanked these out, they just would have said, what's here that you don't get to know? Right.
Right.
It was like, you know, I don't need it over a picture. I know
Social
it's a picture,
security number. I mean,
yeah, right. Like, just name would be great. Right. Just to make it clear about what you're censoring. Anyways. This was originally blocked out, Leslie Wexner's name and this picture. And then Thomas Massey, Rokana go into the skiff and they say, hey, there's someone in this list that really should not be in this list as a co-conspirator. And some of these co-conspirators, there is a case from the DOJ that says, well, some of these people are co-conspirators, but they were also victims, right? They were people who kind of in that, like, you know, in that pimp relationship that he had with some of these women, where he's like emotionally manipulating them, financially manipulating them, et cetera, et cetera, maybe abusing them. And then he kind of gets them to work for him. Right. And that might be the former girlfriend or might be these people. And it's always difficult to know exactly what happened. Right.
Right.
So on the side of caution, you could understand some of that.
Sure.
But they were like, at least one of these guys is absolutely not that. Right?
He's not a victim.
Because he's all over the rest of the files.
Right.
All right. And this is what the whole thing with Bondi and their little spat was about, is that he was like, I caught you red-handed. Well, that was because they censored out in this, the co-conspirator document that has the intelligence sources that they were relying on to charge him potentially. This is not yet charged. This is them building their case that they have human intel, financial intel, and all kinds of other intel on him. Okay, so that's the background. Now, what happened today is they went to Ohio and interviewed him. Now, it's interesting. He didn't go to them. He has a private plane.
Are you sure he didn't will it to Jeffrey Epstein or something?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, just checking.
But you know, they, Congress went to them, and along with some people like lawyers and stuff like that, with the Republican Accountability Office and their special committee. So they went there to interview him, and we got some video from it. So we'll play that.
Were there any things you witnessed or observed about Mr. Epstein that could have suggested he was trafficking and sexually abusing women?
Absolutely not. I've asked myself that question over and over, why I didn't see that there should have been a clue or something that I should have picked up on. There's nothing that I can recall, nothing new. Not even a clue of a clue. And I think the reason, in hindsight, and I think for the understanding to get to the bottom of what Jeffrey did, is to understand how great a con he was. Because that's the explanation I have to myself. How could I have never thought he was a thief? How could I never thought he was a pervert? You know, all the terrible things. Never clue.
With the benefit of...
So just pleading ignorant.
Yeah, I mean, that's his innocent victim statement, right? Which is what you would understand to do because you want to get in trouble, right? And maybe true. You never know. Maybe he was just very blind to the whole thing. I don't know. It is interesting because when you listen, a couple of things I've consumed on this is Daryl Cooper's work, his series on Epstein is interesting because he has a whole section on it about how other people around Westner talked about how Westner changed from first meeting Epstein to getting power of attorney to the later stages of Epstein and that whole story, and how Westner changed to do that, like went from kind of being like a reserved kind of quiet guy to a more boisterous extrovert and things like that, and just how closely that Epstein went from not knowing him to being very close to him.
Yeah.
And yeah, of course, he does kind of poo-poo a little bit his closeness with Epstein in this interview. But we do have that section here that I think is worth noting.
Epstein, how did he originally present himself to you? What services did he say he was offering?
Well, when I first met him, it was just hello, and he didn't represent anything, and I didn't ask anything. I was just meeting a friend's acquaintance.
As that business relationship became closer and you eventually hired him, I assume he pitched his services in some way. What was his way of framing what he was offering to you?
I think it was his experience at an industrial level, like working for a big company like Bear Stearns, and then he had done personal work for the Rothschild family in France.
Personal wealth management, essentially?
Work, quote unquote.
I don't know.
Hmm. So, interesting, and the Rothschild name there is really interesting, because this place is, what we're talking about here is the 80s. Right. So the timeline, rough timeline, I haven't pulled together an official timeline. Maybe I will sometime, is something like leaves Dalton School, goes to Bear Stearns, early 80s, and then yada, 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 weird CIA stuff with the airline and potentially Iran-Contra and stuff we don't really understand yet, but there's really interesting connections there. If you look at Nancy Mace's stuff, request to the CIA, there's a case. Mike Benz has a really great case he made on the Joe Rogan podcast too about Iran-Contra and his potential involvement. And then it's Rothschilds and then Wexner.
Interesting.
Yeah, into going into the late 80s.
And is this timeline substantiated by anything other than this new interview, or is this all riding on Les Wexner's word?
That's a good point. It's... Of course, you could understand, especially an older guy. I mean, he's quite old now. An older guy who is like kind of confusing, maybe things he knew later and around Epstein and things Epstein claimed later versus before. But it's some evidence to suggest that that's true. And then what you'd want to do if you were actually building a real investigation is confirm that with Rothschilds, right? You'd be like, when did you start your relation with Jeffrey Epstein? Well, the emails we have are all from the mid-2000s Right, with a weird gap from 99 to 2000.
Yeah, that is odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
The ones they haven't released any from just before or just after 9/11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very suspect, suspicious there.
Yeah. It could be.
Wasn't there one asking about who the real pilot was or where the real pilot was, like a week or something after 9/11?
Yeah, but it's not clear if he's talking about his pilot or some other plane, or is it about 9/11? We don't know. So
I'm just a little
disclosure there. I don't. Yeah, no, not too much dubious speculation to her.
I would be playing the "Don't Be Suspicious" soundbite right now.
You should just sing it. Sing it for us, Bennett.
Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
Yeah, that's boy.
So, okay. So, then there's a little bit more on the Rothschilds connection is actually impacting the just a second later here, and I do want to get into that because there's also some other connections that he says that Epstein told him he had early in their relationship.
I think it was his experience at an industrial level, like working for a big company like Bear Stearns, and then he had done personal work for the Rothschild family in France.
Personal wealth management, essentially?
I don't know.
We've seen some reports that he would present himself as a bounty hunter, that he would find people's missing money. Do you recall him saying anything like that?
No. Well, specifically, I talked to Ellie de Rothschild, and so I mentioned that earlier. So he represented their whole family. So there have been a whole bunch of people. I mean, most of them I never would have met, but I knew Ellie. I never met people, but there were people that called me that either insinuated or said they knew Jeffrey through a financial relationship. And so, I mean, they could have been actors, but in the time, a guy calls me up. I'll give you an example. Because I want you to understand this, is it's so confusing to me. He would say, like, I'm providing financial advice to the founders of Google. I'm providing financial advice to Jeff Bezos. I'm providing financial advice for the chief technologist at Google.
I'm Bezos. I'm pissed right now.
Dude, for sure. You're like, oh, you son of a...
And you have to put yourself in the mindset. If my attorney said, you know, he was qualified to argue in front of the Supreme Court, I'd believe him. I didn't say to call the Supreme Court and say, tell me, is he really an attorney or did he do this?
Yeah,
that's crazy. So he just threw a few people under the bus there.
Yeah, it's unclear about whether or not he's just giving examples of the kinds of people, especially because those would be good examples for now. Or even in the mid-2000s, but not great examples from the 1980s.
Sure,
so,
sure.
Yeah.
Right, because, I mean, there aren't Sergey Brin and Larry Page in the files or have, you know, suspected to have been to the island, flown on the plane, all that stuff.
I've heard accusations about that, but I haven't investigated those specifically.
Yeah, but that would have been much later in the timeline. Yeah, what about Bezos? Did he?
No, I haven't looked. Yeah, that's a good question.
Interesting.
Yeah. We could live look if we want to, if we're interested.
No, it's all right.
It's got to be easy to look for Bezos.
It was interesting.
Oh, yeah, dude. But it's unclear. So one of the things about the files, too, is there's a lot of just, you can search Bezos, but then you have, for example, 268 results. But how many of those are just news article clippings that he has that mention Jeff Bezos?
Sure. So there's probably a lot of it that's not relevant or not, you know, really tying him to Jeffrey Epstein in any way.
For the same reason Elvis is in the files, as people famously.
Yeah, like Ron Paul was.
Or Ron Paul, yeah.
Right.
It's all him saying, like, everyone's in support of Israel except for that damn Ron Paul, right?
Dingus. Yeah, he calls him a dingus.
Call that guy.
It's a very respectful slur for Ron Paul,
I'd say. It's the best kind of enemies to have, right? Yeah. So anyways, this is important from the perspective, as I said, is aligning the timeline and understanding and then understanding the effect he had. At least it's interesting, the culture of the most elite wealthy people, which is not what I would expect. What I would expect is if you're super wealthy and you have a guy who's saying, I give, he also denies being estate planning. So it's like a financial advice, but not estate planning. What are we talking about? Well, money laundering, maybe? Maybe illegal shit? Maybe that's really what it was, and he was just intimating that to you, and you know, you got the picture, you did the wink, and then you gave him a ton of money. That's what we see when it looks at the financial reporting with the Rothschilds, is they were overpaying this guy. They were paying this guy millions of dollars for what appeared to be nearly no work.
Right. Just right? like wire transfers, basically, effectively, right?
Yeah, and advice on setting up their board and things like that right. were just like, just... advice like that was not anything profound or anything like, hey, bring on wealthy people and make sure there are no goys. Like that's what the email says. I'm just repeating him.
Right.
So how is that worth $20 million? Okay. Like, help me out here.
That's a good question.
So maybe there are other things we're not seeing that it is justifying that service, or this is just an intelligence op and money sluicing through the system so that he can spend it on something else on the other side of a black, dark money system, right? Yeah. Where we're trying to take legit tax dollars from banks like the Rothschild banking, I don't know what the word is, international syndicate?
Sure.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
And then moving it through Jeffrey Epstein so he can spend it to buy guns for the Sandinistas, to send bombs to Iran so we can do the Iran-Contra deal. I don't know.
Yeah,
but that's the sort of spy example that we might use, right? In order to finance operations, if he was an agent of MI6 or Mossad or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah. All right. So next up, and this one's too good not to play because it is so like Jeffrey Epstein file type thing to happen, and it just fits perfectly.
It was just regularly done.
Okay, so if you couldn't hear that, he says, "I will effing kill you if you answer another question with more than five words." Okay, and that was pretty quiet. It didn't seem like he was trying to like fake whisper, but say it like loudly enough for the mic to hear it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
This mic is quite sensitive, mm-hmm. obviously, and you can definitely just hear what he said. Might have been a moment for like a, I need to speak with my client privately over here for a moment.
Yeah. He could have said off the record and then actually stopped it, but you know.
Yeah.
So smart moment, dumb moment from the, I mean, obviously a dumb moment from the lawyer, right?
he is kicking himself right now. Yeah, for sure.
God. So obviously this is lawyerly advice and not an actual threat.
But here's the thing,
though. We're talking spy show, guys.
We are.
Right? We are. Epstein, it's going to be spy stuff.
I find it interesting that in the previous clip, just prior to this one that we played, you see Les Wexner kind of look over sheepishly at his attorney, mm-hmm. make a face like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be saying this. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to name, you know, the founders of Google and Jeff Bezos and shit. So clearly, maybe he's got some loose lips here in this particular interview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is just where we're looking at is they're trying to mitigate damage. The people asking questions are trying to get him to admit things of various consequence for them. And, you know, one of the resulting ones from this is this question of like, well, why is Congress having to do this? Right. And just like the haphazard way, Congress is not necessarily empowered with the investigative power to confirm much of this information.
Right.
They do have some investigative power, but not like the DOJ
right.
or the FBI.
Right.
And this was pointed out by California Representative Robert Garcia. Now, an interesting part of the context, too, no Republicans went to Ohio for this. It was all Democrats.
Well, why did it say GOP oversight on the overlay there?
That's
on the video?
That's who set it up. But no Republicans went. I don't know what happened. Maybe there was some weird Republican convention at the same time. I don't know. But that's what happened.
They were all in Israel. It just so happened to conflict. Tough moment. They had a conference.
You go talk to the boss.
Have to go see the wall.
At least the way Mr. Wexner has presented this, that he, according to him, has not been or was questioned by the FBI or the DOJ about Mr. Epstein. How outrageous is that? He's someone that's been named by survivors, someone that's in the files more than most people, someone that's clearly the financial benefactor to Jeffrey Epstein and has not been contacted or interviewed by the FBI or the DOJ. What the hell is going on?
Yeah, I have fair the same question.
It's a fair question.
Yeah.
Especially, go ahead, Bennett.
I was going to say, it's, I mean, Dave Smith talks about this a lot, but like, I do think the Democrats are just using this to hurt the Trump administration,
sure,
which rightfully so. And I think about Pam Bondi going against Massey when he was like, why was he redacted as a co-conspirator? Mm-hmm. And they're like, he's in the files, you know, 400 whatever times. And it's like, okay, then how the fuck have you not talked to him?
Yeah, right. Well, I'll tell you
what
why.
What the fuck is happening?
I'll tell you exactly why, Bennett. The Dow is at 50,000 and we should be focusing on that. Clearly. Pam Bondi's got Epstein fatigue. She wants to focus on the economy for a little while.
Yeah, right. Well, okay. So I think that's exactly the right question. I think the question is, just think about the evidence we have. We have all of this stuff about Epstein, and then we have the co-conspirator document. The co-conspirator document is sitting there looking us in the face and saying at one point he was a co-conspirator and they never talked to him. Why? And that's exactly the thing, the sort of decision-making process that the Epstein files was supposed to disclose to congressmen and just to congressmen, not to the public, but just to congressmen. And that the congressmen are saying that's not in the files either. And they haven't told us these things. We've asked them these questions and they're not responding to our letters. It's a really good letter to write. And hopefully someone has written it specifically. What was the decision-making framework for not, you know, talking to Lexley Westner after you put him down as a co-conspirator, but before Jeffrey Epstein died.
Yeah.
So if you could imagine in the spy game world that we're living in, when we're talking about this stuff, that if he was a CIA asset, that they put him on this, and then the CIA says, hey, by the way, Lexley Westner was helping us out in Ohio, loading up drugs and shipping them to another country for selling stuff. We got to make sure we protect him as an asset. Otherwise, our methods are going to be disclosed to the public. I'll go all the way. I'll say it right now. I bet that's why.
Because he was working with the CIA on something.
Yeah, because Epstein or Lexley Westner, probably Lexley Westner at minimum. Probably both.
Dude, this is so deep.
I'm just guessing, but I'm just throwing that and see what happens.
Well, yeah. Put a timestamp on that. We'll save that one for the time capsule and we'll come back to it if and when the CIA files come out.
Liam will fucking clip it in 2 years.
Liam has a photographic memory
of our show. Yeah.
Thank you, Liam, by the way. Liam McCollum, everybody. Let's give it up for Liam. Yeah, check out his channel, Liam, the Liam McCollum Show. Very, very much worth checking out. And of course, M. Liam McCollum on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. So, and lastly, on the whole Lexley Westner thing, I do think this is interesting because there's a section, it's fairly long, so please stick with it, though, because I think it is important. And honestly, because in part of it is because, man, every single thing we put on the internet, I have all these people saying that I hate the Trump administration for talking about the Epstein files, and I don't. In fact,
I hate it for other reasons.
It's not even that. Like, I get my frustrations. There's so many things I like about it. I want to like it. I want to. If you could just do good things, I would be happy to like the good things you're doing.
Can we just pause for a moment to reflect? And maybe, Bennett, you can inject some wistful, reminiscent music here. Early in the Trump administration, when we just couldn't get tired of winning, you know, we were just so excited because there was so much grassy green meadows and wildflowers in front of us. We were so optimistic, such naive youth. It was a grassy knoll. Turned out to be, evidently, because we got shot in the fucking head by this administration over a few really important things.
Yeah.
Not least of which, this potential war in Iran that we're about to walk into, apparently. We'll see. But anyway.
We'll be talking about that after it happens over the weekend, because we don't go to war before the Dow closes. You got to have the Dow close. Go to war.
Because
get the war done by Monday.
Yeah, you got to have the Dow stay at 50,000.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You can't. You can't have the news cycle operating full steam when there's a war going on.
This is the most boomer administration ever. Like, you literally design wars around the Dow. Okay, I don't want to get diverted.
There's a couple other really interesting coincidences about this weekend as well that maybe we can talk about over the weekend.
All right, happens. Let's just talk about it. Cool. All right, so... get around to the point is that one of the things that Marjorie Taylor Greene has consistently said is that from her perspective, from what she's seen in the files, from what she's known by talking to the victims that are public and all that kind of stuff, is that Trump's not in them, right? And there's this famous clip, I should have brought it up, but where she says, she's talking to Trump on the phone, and she says, sir, you're not in the files. No one says you're in the files. We really need to disclose this to regain the trust of American people. And he says, but my friends are.
Ooh.
Right. And that moment is the important one. And like, and to reland this for all the Democrats, because there's a lot of Democrats still coming out to say, like, he's all over the files and he did all this terrible stuff. Well, at least Leslie Wexner.
It's the hardest name to pronounce, I think, in the history of time.
I just man. I'm just terrible.
No, I say it too.
The X and the S's, they get confusing.
Anyway.
Yeah.
He basically says, don't know him, never saw him with him, blah, blah, blah. He gives absolute exoneration to Trump.
Did you ever spend time with Epstein and Donald Trump?
Together?
Yes.
I would answer this question accurately. I would go to some of the Victoria's Secret fashion shows because it's very important to the brand. At some of the fashion shows, Jeffrey was there and some Trump was there. And I remember because Trump would always introduce himself to me. And I always thought it was kind of odd that he was at the fashion show because he had nothing to do with fashion. So the coincidence of them being together at an event, it could have been that, but I have no specific recollection. I never had a social or like a drink or a cup of coffee, something that would put them together.
Okay, so just to clarify, because I want to make sure we're clear on the record, you're saying that you can recall instances potentially where Epstein and Trump were together and you were in their presence, or just a random scenario where Epstein may be there, Trump may be there separately, and then you would...
It would be at random. That would be accurate. If it happened, but I have no specific recollection.
Okay. Did you ever see or become aware of President Trump having a sexual relationship with a person who was introduced to him by Epstein or Maxwell?
No.
Yeah, and it goes on like that, and it's all just knows. So that could be covering him. Donald Trump is the most powerful man in the world right now, so like...
You know, well, and his lawyer already just starting to kill him.
True. Short answers, buddy. Short answers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and yeah, I mean, shoot. Let's say that, you know, Leslie Wexner is more implicated in this. If he throws Trump under the bus, the chances of any sort of pardon or presidential help on that front go right out the window. But if he covers for him, yeah, then maybe that's still on the table. Of course, that's not enough to substantiate that he's lying about Trump being in the presence of Jeffrey Epstein with him, right?
Right. And Democrats are obviously going to focus on that side. And the other side, people are going to say, like, hey, all we have to go is on what he said.
Right.
And what he said, he wasn't. Additionally, that, I mean, we don't have any, so far, any criminal activity from Leslie Wexner in the files that I'm aware of, right? Where it's like, there's not like insider trading kind of accusations that we've seen in like the UK, or there isn't, granted, if you were doing an investigation, those wouldn't be in the files, because that's one of the things that the files actually, they can't release things that are an active investigation. So Therefore, evidence of that wouldn't be in there. But Leslie Wexner is all over it. And we still have a really important questions to ask about why they decided not to investigate.
Right.
Second to that, and one of the things I didn't mention earlier that I think is important is, you know, Wexner's narrative is that Epstein claimed that he was doing his like personal finance management. But there's no finance management in the files, meaning like if he was going around saying I'm the super guru of finance, but there's no actual financial advice anywhere in the files that he sends to anybody. And this is according to the people who've done the most amount of work on the files. I'm talking like Breaking Points, Sagar and Jetty and Dropside News and all these people. They're saying there is none. In fact, the only one that they've said is where Jeffrey Epstein found an article about some advice about taxes and he sends it to his tax lawyer. There isn't any clear evidence that that was the actual service that he was providing any of these people. So what was the service? Like, what was the value add to have him in your life? Well, it could have been just having him be your personal pimp, which appears is what it was for some people. It could have had him as like financier of certain projects. That's what it was for a lot of these scientist people. And then you have like this category of wealthy person like Lex Wessner, where it's estate management, but it's also like, and he's getting all this access to it. And what Wessner says is that, returning to that thread, is that Jeffrey Epstein lied and then stole money from him. Right. And that was all just a con.
Right.
So if that's true, like a forensic investigation of the actual finances by the FBI could acquit him. And that's what we'd want to see, is where they said this agent investigated for, 348 hours or whatever, and found no illegal activity. In fact, it found out that Alexei Westner was being stolen from. Mm-hmm. That would exonerate him. And then it's just a question of like, well, do we go after this very old man for prostitution? Because that's probably what the rest of it was.
Right.
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 Yeah. If there's any evidence of that specifically.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the insider trading piece that came out of the UK that was revealed, a couple of weeks ago, it was a PM, right? Or someone involved in the British government that got...
I think it was House of Lords.
Yeah. And he got... was he arrested or was he just booted out of the House?
Booted out, okay, yeah, for gotcha. Insider trading. And whether or not they're actually going to follow up with a full investigation and actually prosecute, we don't know yet.
Yeah.
I don't know yet.
But that substantiates the UK. It's the first instance of the UK doing a lot more actual, investigation and taking on, actual criminal activity around the Epstein files, prosecuting people, or at least starting those procedures. And the second of which that happened this week is former Prince Andrew, who we mentioned earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we got this tweet from Thomas Massey. You're welcome. Number of arrests, Russia collusion of 0, January 6, 0, Mar-a-Lago raid 0, Bennett Biden auto pen 0, 2020 election 0, Epstein pedophile arrests 1. COVID, Benghazi, Doge findings, Ukraine impeachment hoax.
So all of the arrests that we were promised by the Trump campaign, we've got one, and it's not even from that administration.
Yeah, right. Additionally to that, and this is particularly condemning of the U.S. government, but also there are investigations that are apparently out there, maybe we don't aware of them. We're not aware of them. It would gain a lot of trust back if they did say we're investigating,
Right. But at this point,
specificity,
there's been only one arrest. It was the former Prince Andrew, who was then released after the arrest, yes. Correct?
Yeah. And additional context, 9 other countries other than UK are doing active investigations based upon this, and they've announced it.
Oh, wow.
Nine other countries.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not the US.
Hopefully our government announces it, or they're just covering. Who knows? But who is Prince Andrew? Remind me, former Prince Andrew, sorry.
Totally. Apologies. Well, from what I could dig up in a very quick Grok search here, he became the Duke of York. He was married to Sarah Ferguson. That was back in the 80s. Divorced in 96. His public roles included the UK trade envoy for about 10 years in the in the 2000s or the teens. Mm-hmm. And then he ceased his royal duties in 2019 due to scandal. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, his long friendship with Jeffrey Epstein became public knowledge. He was accused by Virginia Giuffre of sexual abuse, which he denied, of course, as you do. And then he settled a lawsuit with her in 2022. So I don't know what's going on there exactly. The consequences of this, of course, he lost his military titles, his royal status. He was deprived of his titles, basically booted out of the palace, stripped of Prince and Duke of York, etc. I need my glasses here because my eyes are getting tired. It's getting late. Woof. Oh, there we go. That's better. And he was stripped of those titles by King Charles II.
Who's his older brother?
Who is his brother, right? Oof. So that has to stink.
Royalty's tough.
A lot of family drama. Yikes. Over there. Makes me, in spite of all of our problems here, it makes me grateful that we don't have royalty to deal with. We fought a war, so we didn't have to care. I love that. So anyway, he's no longer a working royal. He's known as Andrew Mountbatten Windsor.
Yeah.
Younger brother of King Charles II. Eighth in line to the throne, but completely distanced from the royal family and all public duties.
Hmm. So we talked about him a little while ago. We won't play the full clip, but just to get you a sense of this is the old podcast in the old studio.
Who?
It was about 2 years ago. I found the episode. It's episode 54.
The Prince of York.
Look at that young man.
Oh, yeah. Look at him. Just so innocent to the world. I'm way too loud, so I'm going to turn it down. Yeah. So here it is. Thank you. When was it again, Bennett? Sorry.
January 7th, 2024.
Oh, okay.
Back this up just a little bit.
Okay. Get the original. We also have the Prince of York. Prince Andrew,
Duke, actually,
as one of the other major figures. And he has been questioned about this in the past. Kyle just sent you the video if you want to bring it up. It's a very interesting defense because you find One of the things I've found about this is when asked about it, how many people really get very strange around all of these kind of questions, Prince Andrew being one of them, in trying to defend himself from, in the, he's one of the most accused people across multiple Jane Does that he was a client of Epstein as a trafficker of young girls.
Yeah. And this interview with him a while back went super viral because of like how sweaty and nervous he seemed throughout the entire thing. Everything was just like,
as he claims that he's incapable of sweating.
Yeah. It was very weird. But yeah, here's that video.
July of this year, Epstein was arrested on charges of sex trafficking and abusing dozens of underage girls. One of Epstein's accusers, Virginia Roberts, yep, has made allegations against you. She was very specific about that night. Mm. She described dancing with you and you profusely sweating and that she went on to have possibly...
There's a slight problem with the sweating. Because I have a peculiar medical condition, which is that I don't sweat, or I didn't sweat at the time, and that was, I didn't sweat at the time because I had suffered what I would describe as an overdose of adrenaline in the Falklands War when I was shot at, and I simply, it was almost impossible for me to sweat. On that particular day that we now understand is the date, which is the 10th of March, I was at home. I was with the children. I'd taken Beatrice to a Pizza Express in Woking.
Why would you remember?
Pizza? Really?
He said all
the alibis, you pick pizza?
He said the same thing back at 2 years ago. Like, with this intro, like, pizza? Really?
Come on, man. Come on.
Anyways, we're going to watch the rest of it. But, you know, it is interesting, you know, this peculiar medical condition. And then the phrasing still gets to me, where it's like, back then, I couldn't sweat.
Yeah.
At least
at the time.
Yeah.
So you fixed it?
You fixed it? Your peculiar medical condition?
Does that happen? Is that a thing?
I remember we looked it up at the time. We're like, it could theoretically be a thing, but it isn't like a known medical condition.
Sure seems super convenient. I had this thing I no longer have, but made that story impossible.
You could have said he was allergic to prostitutes at the time. So he obviously couldn't do there because there was prostitutes there. Therefore,
I would have been sneezing all over the place.
She never mentioned the sneezing.
She never mentioned the sneezing.
From his allergy to prostitutes. And just to put the name and face together, the era we're talking about here is like photos like this. We have some additional photos from the new Epstein files that show him like laying over this woman on the ground very strangely. There's quite a bit of additional evidence. So that's what happened back then, and it has continued to pursue the crown all the way through this time, right? As much as America's interest in the Epstein files, the fact that it's related to the royal family has kept it alive in Britain too for some amount of the population. And if that's not true, if you're from the UK, drop in the comments, let me know how are people in the UK understanding this. We do see a lot of there was actually an article read today about British people talking about how American people are talking about them.
So meta.
Yeah, right. So I am very curious about how it's actually playing over in the UK. To the point, though, where the king, when he was out doing his kingly duties, it's so weird saying that. I can't believe I'm saying that in 2026. You guys have a king. What's up with that?
Yeah, pretty gay, actually.
Don't do that. No kings.
Where's your no kings protest? Come on.
Where the king is heckled from an audience. I don't want to see that.
How long have you known about Andrew and Epstein? Have you asked the police to cover up for Andrew? Have you asked the police to cover up for Andrew? What do you think should be a police to announce to save the boys in the House of Commons?
Well,
yeah,
didn't take too kindly to that. Pretty swiftly ushered away from that gentleman.
I'm sure he'll be arrested for speech.
Oh, certainly. I'm sure he was taken straight to the gulag,
gulag,
whatever they call it over there.
They just put into a
put him in the lorry in
Scotland Yard.
Scotland Yard. That's right. God, we are going to get a lot of hate from British people.
Oh yeah, we were just
sorry, guy.
I mean, just say it with love.
Actually, I'm not. I'm not.
I want you guys to be better.
We're just having fun, and yeah, yes, we expect more of you.
So, the real question, and this has been like the pushback online, has been, well, you can't claim it as a win, Massey, because it wasn't because of pedo sex trafficking, right? The actual cause for the arrest was because of some potential insider trading investigations with when he was, what was that time period that you're talking about? When he was the UK trade envoy from 2001, 2011. Yep. In that time frame, he was close to Epstein, and they didn't say which file or where in the files, and I didn't have the time to go look it up or try to make a theory there about what they might be prosecuting him under. But there was a section in the BBC article that does lead me to believe that it has something to do with the file release, which is, quote, and you can't find this on the website now. This was in the original website, or at least the original update to everything, because it's kind of this live feed version of it. But it says, it comes after Thames Valley Police. What?
I was waiting for you to pronounce Thames.
Oh, Thames.
And I knew you were going to say Thames. I'm sorry. I just had to. That was for you guys.
Why don't you read it?
I'm
hooked on phonics.
Get me back in the good graces.
It works for me. God damn it. All right.
It comes after the Thames Valley Police said they were assessing a complaint over the alleged sharing of confidential material by the former prince with late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Sorry. Never gonna forgive me. He only speaks American English, and I would pronounce it Thames too if I didn't watch Ted Lasso. So.
Yeah, I don't watch television. What is that? That's stupid. That's what the goys do.
Goy slob.
Yeah. So the end of this here is that there is the controversy of going back and forth about whether or not he is guilty. And I can understand where a lot of people in Britain, and specifically this woman who knows Prince Andrew specifically, has been, you know, making the rounds on Piers Morgan and other places defending former Prince Andrew, is his ex-girlfriend, and making the case that, you know, like the evidence is falsified, blah, 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 blah. It's a pretty weak case. But I do think it's interesting, like what she said here specifically about what the potential, you know, like alternative theory could be about why this could be happening to him as a foreign intelligence op.
I want this guy to stay alive.
But who is the, what is the
dying
motive
in this case?
What is the motive of the person who, in your view, falsified this photograph?
And specifically in this case, this is falsifying the photograph with Andrew and the woman on the ground in the new Epstein file release.
Mm. Oh, well, they were taking down the royal family, weren't they?
Well, who were?
Maybe Israel. I who knows?
Israel? Goodness me. Come on. What do you mean, who knows?
We don't need any more than that. It just goes on with their incredulity and her backing up at that point. All I'm saying is this kind of moment is all tainted by the spy game reality that was Jeffrey Epstein and our inability to navigate the underlying question of spy games and how to contend with the black hat in the room.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and at this point, like anything, all the doors are open, which leads to some of the craziest things, like, you know, and easy conclusions that begin to like take on a meme truth that isn't necessarily true, right? Like jerky could be human beings or it could be cocaine. We don't know what it's code for. Do you refrigerate cocaine? No, but you don't refrigerate jerky either, or like, you know, regular jerky either. So what are we talking about? Could be a lot of things. I don't know. We don't know yet. But the flagging of this is suspicious should lead an investigator, a body that investigates things like the FBI to do their job and investigate. That'd be the question.
Quite true.
All right. And lastly,
I know words. I have the best words.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Live soundboard. Who needs it?
All right. So finishing us off here, we are not done. We should not be done. As much as we framed it up in the beginning, it's like, are we getting to Epstein, peak Epstein exhaustion? I get it. But guys, government and to the people, we can only get to the place where we have any amount of confidence in our institutions if we have transparency. And that can only happen with a public release. I think someone make an argument why it can be anything else. the estimates of the remaining files that the DOJ, it's the deputy DOJ guys, I believe the most recent person to quote this, but I think Pam Bondi also said, is that they're not going to do any more files. They're all done with it. It's everything's out. Is that somewhere around 3 million more to 4 million more files.
Wow.
Representing, at least in terms of what is a file, what's the email. We also have all those remaining emails that we talked about a couple episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't have access to. We just have the JE vacation ones. He had a bunch of other emails. We know that from that email. So at least an explanation to say, oh, we looked at those emails and they're just dummy accounts or something like that, would increase public trust. But it seems like they don't care about public trust that much.
Right. That was kind of my thought. It's like, do they want us to trust the government, or do they care that we trust the government or not?
Well, if they want our vote, they better. Right. Yeah. And I think that's where we're at. If you look at the current support numbers, they're not looking good, especially amongst the youngest, most online demographics.
Yeah.
If the Republican Party wants to have any chance in 26, they got to lean in to the transparency, take the hits, and then move on.
Yeah.
And that can only happen, I think, by full disclosure.
Or we go to war with Iran and everybody stops talking about it.
I don't think so. I think about it.
Or we talk about aliens and everyone forgets about the war and the Epstein files.
Once again, I don't think so. At least because look at last year. Last year, we went to war with Iran. We came right back to Epstein files afterwards.
Well, it's only 12 days.
Fact. Yeah. And this one's not going to be 12 days, I don't think.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Or maybe we don't go to war at all. We don't know what's going to happen. But we're still in a position where it's like, if what you want is to put this to bed, the only way out is through. The obstacle is the way here, administration.
Ooh.
If you want to get through this, you got to go and go all in on transparency.
Yeah. And somebody send the Trump administration some Stoics to read.
Some Ryan Holiday. Yeah. There you go. And another estimate holds that the total amount of terabytes at 14.6 terabytes for the total amount of Epstein files, and they've only released 300 gigabytes. So, and another unit of metrics about how much they've released, they've only released 2%.
Fuck
2%.
Yeah.
You mean we're only 2% of the way there on this saga?
Well, I mean, so some of the files are just literally pages and pages of porn. How to say this? Industry porn? Like not homemade stuff of Epstein.
Commercial
porn. That
produced.
Yes.
Okay.
Commercial pornography. Right, so a lot of it could be that. This guy could just been a total porn hound and had terabytes of that. Right. But what I want is...
How boomer of him to download it, you know,
dude. The amount of files that I personally found that were him just being a total gooner, like sending messages to himself about specific porn videos that he liked, was so wild. What? Like
to himself,
yeah. Rather than, that's a whole
like different meta level of masturbation.
Yeah, right.
And you're like, what?
Who needs bookmarks? Who needs like an account? You know,
God.
I mean, I don't know who people make accounts, but I know it's possible. And then like saving it to like a playlist. I don't. Why? Wait, did he not know? He set up Woody Allen's iPhone. That's one of the files.
Right? He must have been somewhat tech savvy.
Yeah. Right. So like, I don't know. Anyways, we got to a weird place right here. But my point being is that we have so much further to go. Additionally, that's just the DOJ. We also have the CIA. And I want to once again, Nancy Mace has rolled out a request of a legislation or resolution to ask the CIA to pull together a commission to audit the Jeffrey Epstein files, unredact everything except for the same things that we've already unredacted for existing investigations or
victims
and things like that, and release. That will require another discharge petition. If your congressman isn't saying, I can't wait to get onto that discharge petition because I understand that the only way out is through to transparency, you need to call them. And this is the moment to do so when it's still the issue still being framed.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
There it is. Your call to action. And there are plenty of ways to get a hold of your congresspeople, your senators and reps. You can call them. I mean, their numbers are all online. You can call them in your state office. You can call them in DC. You could email them and do them all. Mm-hmm. Why not? Because they've got staffers there that take those messages, right?
And yes.
They do deliver at least some record of the fact that you reached out, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah,
at least a count, I would imagine.
Uh huh. Oh yeah,
40,000 people just called our office to say they want you to sign this discharge petition.
That's true. That's absolutely true. I've been the one to aggregate those numbers and present it to a congressman. Yeah, they do that. So do that. It matters.
Yeah.
Every job matters. You might think I'm just one guy in a big. No, it doesn't matter. Go do it, because it's when we act together. Because at the end of the day, we can't get lost in the black pill of the moment. The black pill of the moment is something like, there's so much corruption, it's all looking terrible, and we're just discovering how power really works and all this awfulness. And I know that's scary, guys. But also keep in mind, what happened here is that the president and the speaker of the House agreed, we're not going to release any more files. We looked at the files and there's nothing there. Right?
Right.
Well, and then
it was a hoax. It didn't exist at all.
Yeah, exactly. And Congressman Massey, some women Republicans, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Nancy Mace, and Lauren Boebert, got together with Ro Khanna and the Democrats, and they said, nope, we want to get back some amount of credibility with the American people. And the way we're going to do that is by doing this discharge petition to force the speaker to allow this to the floor. And when they did so, it passed 300 and whatever to 1 and 99 to 0 in the Senate. Mm-hmm. And then the president signed it. He signed it in the middle of the night. He was forced to sign it. But sometimes that's the best. That's the most patriotic thing you could do. And so those congressmen, they need to know that the public actually wants this. Because in D.C., this is just some weird kooky thing. Amongst the rest of us in the flyover states, in the regular places, we see this as, no, actually, I feel like you guys are really corrupt. And the only way I'm going to be able to feel confident that you're not all corrupt is if I actually allow the general public to look inside this black box and to discover who the real bad guys are. So,
absolutely.
Call your congressman.
Call your congressman and be respectful. On that note,
thank
you guys so much for watching. We appreciate you for being here. David, thanks for doing the work that you do, the great work that you always do.
It's a lot of fun, guys.
Bennett, thank you for tuning in all the way from your new home in Valhalla, I hear. Witsec, looks good on you. So keep enjoying your time. And
thank you.
Guys, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Join our Discord if you want to join the conversation. It's in the show notes below in the description of the video. I'm Joe Sheehan. On behalf of all these guys, this is Human Reaction. We'll see you next time.
Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to Human Reaction.
Record scratch. Hold on a minute. We ended the episode, and then I opened up Twitter really quick because I was just like, oh, I want to check out that thing again. And I look at it, and this is the very top. Literally happened when we were recording 20 minutes ago. Go ahead. Go ahead. Read your prediction coming true in real time, Joe.
Based on the tremendous interest shown, I will be directing the Secretary of War and other relevant departments and agencies to begin the process of identifying and releasing government files related to alien and extraterrestrial life, unidentified aerial phenomena, UAPs, and unidentified flying objects, UFOs, and any and all other information connected to these highly complex but extremely interesting and important matters. God bless America. All right.
Okay, so you literally just predicted, the words came out of your mouth, said they're going to do some UAP thing to try to get us off the Epstein files.
Look.
And there it is, Joe. Are you Nostradamus? Are you a wizard? What did you do?
Just look at that first comment, and it sums it up perfectly. That is the perfect meme, Indiana Jones. Aliens are real.
Look, I can't take full credit for this because I'm terminally online, just like you guys, and this has been in the zeitgeist. I mean, he's already crafted a release, and it was originally slated for May, I think, but maybe they're going to have to push it up to get us to move on from this whole Epstein debacle. But seriously, I mean, we've seen this playbook. You guys that watch this show, we talk about this all the time. This is classic misdirection, right? It's just swapping the rock for the egg, right? It's like, or whatever the fuck that thing, a crystal, what is that? I forget.
I haven't seen the Temple of Doom in a long time.
20
yeah.
years.
Yeah, but like the valuable thing for the lot valuable thing to not trigger the trap.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So I think much like Indiana Jones, it will still trigger the trap.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the people are not going to be distracted by this.
No, we are not buying this anymore. That is the thing the administration doesn't get, is this feels like a playbook that was written 50 years ago. They're still thinking works. We know the plays. The defense is just smothering your offense like you're fucking Drake May in the Super Bowl. Right, Bennett? On that note.
Crickets. Play the cricket sound.
He's a fucking torn labrum in his shoulder.
So. Okay, whatever. All anyway, right. I got a bingo card for that, by the way. I did call the Seahawks winning the Super Bowl, so count that one. Oof. All right. Enough of that. I just hadn't gotten to razz you about the Super Bowl yet, Bennett, so thanks for...
Yeah, no, you had not done anything.
Well, not since you nuked the sports channel after the game was over.
I'm not going to lie. When I deleted it, I thought it was just going to delete delete it for me. I deleted the whole fucking channel, so that was my bad.
That's funny. Well, in the history of Marvel posts of credit scenes, this is the best one.
Yeah.
Let's keep doing this.
All right.
Awesome.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
See y'all. Thanks for tuning in to Human Reaction. Please be sure to like, follow, subscribe, and give us a review on your podcast platform of choice. And if you want to become a member and support the show financially, check out humanreactionpod.com. And remember, we talk about aliens and everyone forgets about the war and the Epstein files.